One of the ways of understanding mindfulness practice is that we're bringing the mind and the body together so they work together, so they're in harmony with each other. If you are sitting here in your body, with your body in this room, and you're thinking about what happened yesterday, or thinking about what will happen tomorrow, or thinking about what happens in other places, then your mind, in a certain way, is not in the same place as your body. And if you want the two to work in harmony, it's not so much about bringing your body back into the past, you can't, or rushing into the tomorrow. Tomorrow will come when it comes. If you want the mind and body to work together, it's a matter of bringing the mind into the body, or to have the mind, the awareness, the attention, your thoughts, all be centered here with this body, connected. And it's a wonderful thing to have the mind and body be in harmony and be connected, be in the same place at the same time. And so part of the task of practice is to support the mind, the attention, to begin to feel willing to be present here in this body for the lived experience of now. So one of the ways that we can move in this direction is how you begin your meditation. It's often very helpful at the beginning of a meditation to spend a little bit of time tuning into your body and your posture, making small adjustments so that you can kind of settle in more, wake up to the body, become familiar with it. Maybe almost like a little ritual of establishing a connection with your body. A ritual of reminding yourself through your body to be centered here, this place, at this time. It might be done by ever so slightly, maybe rocking back and forth, rocking forward and backwards, feeling the weight of your body travel down through your sit bones, and see if you can get the weight above your sit bones be directly above them, so you're not leaning forward or leaning back, but the feeling of being balanced with your weight. And perhaps by ever so slight, minuscule little adjustments in your spine, so there's a little bit more feeling of being alert through your spine. And then keeping the alert column of the spine to hold yourself upright. As you exhale, to relax around that, perhaps by softening the shoulders, softening a bit maybe in the area of the shoulder blades. Even if they don't relax there, there can be a wave of softening or making of space around what's happening in the shoulder blades. It can be helpful to soften in the area of the chest, the rib cage, perhaps by, as you exhale, giving in to the pull of gravity, So your chest settles, relaxes. And perhaps it's possible to soften in the belly. Maybe the belly can relax and hang forward and down. Or as you exhale, maybe a settling down into the whole body and weight into the pelvic cavity. And in this body, there's the capacity for physical awareness that comes through the medium of sensations. The body is a reservoir, or a place buzzing with different sensations. And to relax into the field of sensations in the body, in whatever way, simple way, they appear to you. There may be pleasant sensations or unpleasant sensations. To simply be aware. Maybe as if you can be aware from within the body, from the inside out, as opposed to being aware from the control tower in the head. If you stand in the warm sun on a cold day, and you let the warmth fill your body, you know, it's not like you're aware of that by thinking about it. You can really feel that, receive it, open to it through your body, that warmth. And as you sit here with your body, is there anything that feels pleasant, enjoyable, or alive, vital, in the basic, raw, simple, sensory feelings of your body? Is there any sense of vitality or energy through the body that arises out of the body without you needing to be in the control tower making something happen? And we have this ability to be aware. And we can place the awareness in different parts of the body. For a few moments here, bring your calmly and deliberately become aware of the sensations in your right hand. Aware of whatever sensations are there in the palm of the hand, the back of the hand, the fingers, might be quite subtle. There might be sensations of vibration, tingling, pulsing. Warmth, coolness. The contact where the right hand touches something. Weight, pressure. Smoothness, hardness. It's possible that if by having attention in the right hand, you're aware of more sensations in the right hand than you would have been aware of if you didn't pay attention. Feeling the fullness of the right hand. That what you bring your attention into can sometimes make us feel more intimately and fully what's there. And if you do the same thing with your left hand, bring your attention into the left hand, and feel the sensations that are there. Some of them might be pleasant, some might be unpleasant. There might be a radiance of energy or vitality. Then hopefully the experience of the left hand is neutral enough that you don't have to be for or against any sensations there. Just allowing it to, the sensations to radiate or show themselves. Present moment awareness. And so the experience of being aware, just aware, with maybe without commentary or judgments or confusion, just the experience of the hand. So then in the same way that you're aware of your hands, let your awareness settle into that part of your body where you experience breathing. Not so much focusing only on the experience of breathing, but let the sensations of that part of your body show themselves to you. Let them have their time to be known in awareness. If you're aware of the breath in your breathing in your chest or your belly or your nostril or what are the various sensations there, both connected to breathing and just that are there independent of it perhaps. Movement, vibration, tingling, pulsing, warmth, coolness, pressure, tightness, looseness, release. and to allow yourself to experience the body as if the sensations of your body are welcomed into awareness, welcomed into the mind that knows, as if the body sensations are a partner with the mind. Holding each other hand in hand, touching each other. And perhaps it helps to relax, let go, soften the mind. So it's more content to just be here with the experience of the body breathing. If there's a lot of thinking, see if there's any sense of pressure or tension or agitation somewhere in the body connected to that activity of thinking. And as you exhale, see if you can relax the thinking muscle. So not just letting go of your thoughts, but relaxing in the mind. And with a more relaxed mind, receive, allow for the sensations of breathing to come into awareness. And then finally, if there's any sensations in your body which are more compelling than your breathing, see if you can do the same exercise as you did with a hand. In a very simple, relaxed way, bring your awareness into that part of your body as if whatever is there has permission to be there. And allow it yourself to sense and feel and take in and savor all the different sensations that are in that part of your body. As you stay clearly aware of what's happening there, simply aware, without commentary or judgment, the best you can. Practicing mindfulness of the body in whatever compelling sensations that arise. And when they're no longer compelling, or you feel like you've acknowledge the sensations well enough, then you can begin again with your breathing by entering into that area of your body where you experience breathing and feeling it fully as the embodied experience, sensations, aliveness, vitality of that area of your body where you breathe. Maybe feeling it from the inside. After the Buddha died, someone asked Ananda, is this Buddha's disciple, that now that the teacher had died, who would be the teacher now? And you can imagine that having the Buddha as your teacher is pretty good. And when he's died, you know, what follows? And he asked Ananda, who was the person who seems to have had a phenomenal memory and was the one who memorized almost all the teachings of the Buddha and was able to pass them on so that they survived down through the generations. So to ask this Ananda that question is, you know, pretty poignant. And his answer would be pretty poignant. And so he said that now that the teacher is dead, that our teacher is mindfulness of the body. Isn't that phenomenal? That your body, if you could be mindful of it, is somehow equivalent to having the Buddha as your teacher. Your body is a wonderful friend for you. It's a wonderful resource. I know that in retreats like this and other times, the body offers a lot of challenges. There can be pain and illness and aches and tiredness and restlessness and all kinds of things. But all those things, as challenging as they can be, are also the very food or the fuel for the practice. They're the things that we learn to be present for and open to and to allow the body to hold our experience. Sometimes when the mind reacts to our experience in our body, we contract, we remove ourselves from it, we treat it as an, you know, as an object of a thing that we have to somehow deal with. But to learn to practice mindfulness of the body is to allow almost like the experience to radiate or arise out, or to be held, or to be make space for it. Just let it be. I've had wonderful meditations being restless when I learned to, took a while, but at some point I finally realized that with restlessness I could just kind of expand my awareness into my body and let the restlessness be like a ping pong ball that just kind of bounced like crazy all over. And then it got kind of fun as opposed to a burden or a challenge or something. Just kind of relax and let it just kind of, the energy kind of just flow freely. Or to feel pain and have a lot of space for the pain in the body. Just, oh, the body can take care of it, can hold it. Because as opposed to the mind reacting to it or anticipating what it means and what's going to happen and judging oneself for having it and trying to do the usual things that the mind's trying to do to take care of you, you know, but react to it. And I found certainly many times when I've had pain that I get claustrophobic around it. And that claustrophobia, it just like makes it more harder. But the opposite of being claustrophobic is to have a lot of space. And so awareness can make that space. The body, feel it in the body. The body is always a present moment experience. The mind may or may not be. So if you just kind of also feel a kind of contentment, oh, you know, it's helping me be present here now. You're always welcome to move, as I said. The so-called official rest posture is the posture that John is sitting in right now. He's taking the official formal rest posture. Isn't that nice? You kind of bring your legs up and, you know, just it kind of works if you need to, anytime. But it's also good to just make space for and feel what's there. Certainly feel and be present for the body before you move and give time to it and see what's really motivating you. So mindfulness of the body is a very helpful part of all this. So much so that I think that the word sati, I kind of wish we would have translated as bodyfulness rather than mindfulness, because of the way in which we prioritize the mind by saying mindfulness. And but to be full, be full in the body. And that's been one of the things I've discovered through my practice, is how valuable it is to be centered and grounded in the body, to experience life through the body. And when I was first introduced to this practice in Asia, in Vipassana, I got so fascinated by the physical side of our experience that almost every situation I came in, I would say, how's the body experiencing this now? How's it felt? How's this feeling somatically? And you know, that we would have these monsoon downpours that would happen suddenly in Burma. And it would get darker suddenly, and just this huge sound, and all this water and humidity. And I just, as soon as it happened, I would tune into my body. What's physically, how's that feel? The change of maybe atmospheric pressure, or humidity, or sound. You know, what does that feel like in my body? You know, whatever. It's always referring it back to the body. How's this being experienced now? How's it feeling now? As opposed to, how do I like this? What's my preferences with this? What do I think this means? What are my expectations with this? Just come back. Just feel it fully in the body here. So one of the ways of practicing mindfulness is to practice with a certain part of the physical experience, which is the breathing. Breathing is an intimate part of the body, and to be kind of default, kind of be centered there, come back there. Stay with the breath so that you're less likely to wander off in thought, or if you wander off in thought, you're more likely to come back and have a place to ground yourself and to be here. And slowly over time, weaken the forces of distraction. And the breathing has a wonderful, you know, rhythm. It's easier to stay focused on things if there's a rhythm, as opposed to something which is unchanging at all. So there's a rhythm to breathing. There's also a rhythm to getting lost in thought, to getting distracted. And that's completely normal for the mind to have this rhythm of getting involved in thoughts, and then you coming back to the breath. And rather than being a mistake, the mind wanders off. And as you can just say, that's what the mind is doing, its rhythm, you know. And you have your part in that rhythm. And your part, as soon as you notice, is to come back, be present, bring it back to the present moment. And so if you think of it as a rhythm rather than as a mistake, then slowly you'll find yourself more and more here, and less pulled into it, less reactive to it. But if some sensation in your body is more compelling than your breathing, so there's starts to be a little tug of war between, you know, you're trying to stay with your breath and some other sensation in your body, whether pleasant or unpleasant, then you can just simply stop focusing on the breathing and let your awareness go into that part of your body like we did for the hand exercise, and just feel it fully, that area there. Trying to be very simple and feel it and be with it and kind of get underneath, kind of get into it or inside of it. Feel what really is the sensation, what's the experience of the body there. Becoming attentive to your reactions and judgments and ideas about it. To see that those judgments and expectations and preferences that you have are quite distinct. They're not the same thing as the raw, simple experience of the body. And that distinction sometimes can make it easier to stay and feel in the body. And then when you're ready, you can come back to your breathing. Or if it's helpful for you, sometimes people find it helpful when there's a strong sensation in the body to breathe with it. Somehow the rhythm of breathing and staying with the breath, kind of imagine you're breathing with it or breathing through it, a little bit of protection from getting pulled off into the world of thoughts and ideas. So your body is your friend, your body is your teacher, and to stay close to your body through the day, stay in touch with what's going on. So do you have any questions you'd like to ask? We might have time for one or two, maybe one question, if someone has one around any of this. Yes, Charlie, please.
There seems to be I don't know if it's a shift or a trend, but Tuchinia, or, you know, going to the mind versus going to the breath, you know. I've gone to a couple of retreats where focus on the mind to see where it's going, and oftentimes it's very helpful in the sense of when I've got a speedy mind really going and looking at it and seeing, okay, all right, I see that. Mm-hmm. And then I oftentimes come back to the breath and then come back to the body with that, that seems to connect me a lot better. But it seems like there's two schools or a new trend or something like that. I don't know what...
Yeah, it's true. It's true, and there are the over the decades there are different trends in how mindfulness is taught and emphasized. And right now there's certainly a trend with this Burmese teacher named Utejaniya, and it's a wonderful trend. It's been very helpful for many people to do it. That's how he teaches, and it's, you know, it's more like a In the spectrum of all the things we can be aware of in the present moment, some people give emphasis on certain things as being the primary thing or the place where the focus is, and some people on other things. And some people it's the body, some people it's feeling tone, some people it's the mind, some people it's other things that they do pay attention to. And some people find it's good to kind of specialize in one. Some people find it's good to know the full range of possibilities and then do what's appropriate in different times. So like in the sitting today, I asked you to become, when you were thinking a lot, I said it's useful to pay attention to what's going on in the mind and if the physical pressure or tension there, and somehow relax the mind, relax the thinking formations, and then it's easier to come back to your breathing. So there's some attention there. And, you know, we need, as the practice goes deeper, as we'll see, as we go through, at some point we become more sensitive, more aware of the mental reactions, mental forces that go on, the judgments that go on, the being for and against. And that can be very useful. You can do as you wish. My preference is to really stay very much grounded in the body and then let that be the support. And then, from that base, you can include the other aspects of practice, including mindfulness of the mind. But it's on the foundation of this body, because I found the body is a phenomenal tool and support. And it's a way of helping to create harmony between the whole system, so the mind and body are working together. And then as they work together, the full range of information, the full range of how all these functions can be revealed and show itself and be integrated and be healed. Sometimes if you only stay one way or the other, it's the integration sometimes is a little bit slower. So I think we ran out of time. So if you can save it for later, or maybe have a meeting today with one of the teachers, is that okay? Because if we start our interviews late, then we get backed up. So we start the practice meetings with you, practice discussions with you, for half of you today. And I think all but one of you signed up for it, so I think Bill was the last one who needs to sign up, maybe for tomorrow. And Susie's meeting with people in room one, which is the room downstairs, right off the community hall next to the manager's office. And and Brian starts in the room that's on the other side of the wall from that. If you go down by the elevator and go around to the left, there's a room 100. And then the second half of his interviews he'll do in room 1, where Susie will have been earlier. And then I'll be in room 100, same room as Brian, down that hallway and to the right. And there are signs in the walls that point in that direction. And the last thing I would like to say is that how useful mindfulness of walking is, practicing with walking. I could also say that mindfulness of the walking doesn't work if you don't do it. And so And it, sometimes it's an acquired taste. It was for me an acquired taste. I didn't really like doing it. And but as I like to tell my kids, you don't have to like something to do it. And so, and I found that, you know, it takes a while to acquire the taste. You have to kind of do it and get a sense of it. And so you have to give yourself over to it. it's a very supportive for the overall balance and rhythm of the retreat to go back and forth between sitting and walking. And some people, the benefits of walking are not seen in the walking, but are seen when you come back to sit. So if you're measuring in the moment, oh, this is not working or not, trust the process, just relax and just do it. And think of it as a sensory awareness exercise, that you're just kind of in your body and letting the body sensations kind of wash over you, show itself to you, feel them, be there. And, you know, sometimes the fact that you're walking and doing this more grosser activity than just sitting still, that it's easier to feel the body sensations and let them just come to you and let them kind of arrive and just support you and inform you and ground you and, you know, connect you to the body. So I hope you enjoy today. Thank you.